We're turning your Bibles to Hebrews 11. We're continuing, of course, our study of what we're calling the Hall of Fame of Faith, seeing men and women basically who trusted God, who took God at His Word. And that's what faith is. As you know, faith is taking God at His Word. That's what it is. Faith is believing. Faith is being persuaded that something is true. And we go to the Bible, and the Bible says something, we say, I take that by faith, meaning I believe that that is true. We're seeing people from the Old Testament who trusted God and did what God told them to do. This is our goal and plan, that as we look through Hebrews 11, that we want to take God at His Word. We want to believe the Word. We want to do what God has for us to do. This morning, we're looking and continuing looking at Abraham. We saw him really, not last week, as we talked Easter, and we talked about the resurrection of Christ last week. The week before that, we saw Abraham, a man who left his home. He was living in the Ur of the Chaldees, which is modern-day Iran, Iraq, basically where the Tigris-Euphrates River comes together, a place called Ur. He left there and followed and went where God told him to go. God said, I want you to go to a land that I will show you. That's what He told him at first. And this passage says that Abraham left not even knowing where he was going. He trusted God. Last time we called it obedience of faith because he obeyed God. He took God at His Word and he acted upon it. And we saw that. He's a man who lived his life for God, and we talked about that. Well, this morning, we're going to talk about how he lived on this earth, and we're calling it dwelling by faith. And we want to be men and women who dwell on this earth by faith. As we receive Christ Jesus the Lord, we've received Him by faith, as the Bible says in Colossians 2:6, so walk ye in Him, a walk of faith, as we live for our Savior Jesus Christ. Well, you know, Jesus gave a parable about this rich man. He came up and said, there was this man that was wealthy, and he had all these barns, huge barns. And his crops came in so big that he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've got even more than a whole barn, so what I'm going to do is tear down my barns, build bigger barns, and put all my stuff in there. He said after he did that God came to him and said, you fool, today your life is required of you. And he died. And the point that Jesus was making is that he accumulated all this stuff and then he died. We come into this world with how much? Nothing. And we go out of this world with nothing. How are we to live as we go through this life? Do we grab for all the gusto we can get? Do we grab for everything? Realize that the things of this world are just temporary. They're just temporal. They do not last. And we're just passing through. This morning we're going to see how Abraham lived. And I think the key is that he lived with a view to the future. He lived looking for the future, not tied to this earth, but he was looking for something that God had for him, and of course that was called the city. It says he was looking for a city that had foundations. Later on, we're going to see it as we get further on in chapter 11, that it says that God actually prepared for him a city. We call it dwelling by faith because this is how he lived on this earth. And we want to talk about it this morning, that we want to be like Abraham. Abraham was not tied to this world but looked with an eternal perspective. We want to do the same thing. So as we begin, let's remind ourselves that faith basically means to take God at His Word. To live by faith is taking the truths and principles from the Bible, living them out in our lives, basically living our lives according to the Scripture. In our study of Hebrews 11, and there's a whole bunch of by faith, by faith, by faith. Here's what we've seen so far. We saw in chapter 3, by faith, that there was creation. We believe that God created the world out of nothing. By faith, we saw that Abel offered a sacrifice of faith, a better sacrifice than Cain, because he came by faith and he brought a blood sacrifice. By faith, we saw that Enoch was a walk of faith. He walked with God and he was well-pleasing to God. By faith, we saw Noah, by the work of faith. Why Noah built an ark. It had never rained. God said, rain's going to come, flood's going to flood everything. I want you to build this gigantic boat, and I want you to get on it and your family and anybody else to get on it with you. Nobody else will get on it, and all the animals. And it was a work of faith. And then last time, we saw by faith, we called it obedience of faith, where Abraham was willing to leave his home, Ur of the Chaldees, and to go to a place that he didn't even know where he was going. And this morning, we're going to look at by faith. We call it dwelling by faith. How did he live? How did he live? Well, let's remind ourselves about this man named Abraham. His name was Abram, which means big daddy. It literally means high father, the big dad. And God changed his name from Abram, and he didn't have any children at all. He changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which means father of many nations. Still didn't have any children. God had made a promise to him. He promised him that he would have an offspring. We're going to talk about it later on. He promised him he'd have an offspring, and And he told him that when he was 75 years old. He didn't have that offspring till he was 100 years old. God made a promise to Abraham. It's found in Genesis. I'm just going to throw this up here. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, he came to him and made a covenant with him. He told him to go, that he would give him a land, a seed, and a blessing. He said, I will protect you and take care of you. I don't know if we have a slide. Yeah, there it is. He promised him a land, seed, the blessing. The land is what we call the land of Israel. If you look in Genesis 13, Genesis 15, and Genesis 17, there's some descriptions of the land, which is much bigger than any of the land that they've ever possessed. They will one day. He talked about a seed, which not only meant an offspring, which was going to be a son, Isaac, to Jacob, to the nation of Israel, but also a seed, which would be the Messiah, and then a blessing to the whole world, and that whole blessing that comes through the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And that's the whole promise to Abraham. He was an amazing man, and he trusted God. God said, I want you to leave and go to a land that I'm going to show you, and then I'm going to give it to you. And he says, okay, I'll just go. He didn't even know where he was going. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 8 again. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, when God came to him and said, here's what I want you to do, he obeyed. That's what we call it, obedience of faith. He obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive as his inheritance. God said, I'm going to give you this land. And he went out not knowing where he was going. He didn't even know where he was going. But what we saw was that Abraham was willing to do something. And that was this. He said, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what God's got me to do. But my life is for God. I'm going to live for him. And we talked about this last week. And we said that, you know, for all of us to have eternal life, to be able to be with Jesus Christ forever, cost us absolutely nothing. It's a gift. Jesus died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again, and offers to us the gift of eternal life, which is by faith. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So all of us in this room, if you said, I have eternal life, it's not because what you've done or what you're going to ever do, you're taking the gift of eternal life, which comes by faith. But the idea of living for Jesus Christ is going to cost you. This has nothing to do with eternal life salvation. This actually has to do with rewards, and this is what Abraham did. He believed God, and then when God said, I want you to leave, and I want you to go to another place, I got a plan for you, Abraham didn't say, well, listen, if you'll kind of tell me what it's going to look like and if there are any malls there or what they get, I'll decide whether I'm going to go or not. But he didn't do that. He just said, I'm going. And for us, there comes a time in a believer's life, and for some, you never reach it. For many, you get to a point and you say, I want my life to count for Jesus Christ. I want to go wherever he wants me to go. I want to do whatever he wants me to do. I give him my life. This has nothing to do with salvation. This has to do with service. And it's obedience. You just say, Lord, I just want to go wherever you want me to go and do whatever you want. I hope, first number one, that every one of you in this room, that you have eternal life by faith, by trusting in Jesus Christ and him alone. It costs you nothing. It's a gift. I also hope that all of us, at one time or another, if we hadn't made the decision now, that you're going to say, God, I want my life to count for you, and I'll go anywhere you want me to go, and I'll do whatever you want me to do. I want you to see something that Abraham did. Hold your place in 11 and go back to Genesis chapter 12 just for a second, okay? We're going to have to turn a few places today. So Genesis chapter 12, I want you to see the covenant that God made and what Abraham did, okay? Just real fast, and we'll see it, and then we'll turn back. So hold your place because we're going back to Hebrews 11. Go way back almost to the front of the Bible to Genesis chapter 12, and I want you to see, and we mentioned this last week, I just want you to see this. Here the Lord God comes, or the Lord comes to Abram. Now watch. Chapter 12 of Genesis, verse 1. Now the Lord, if you've been in my Sunday school class, we've been doing a study in Sunday school class on the names of God in the Bible, the names and titles. This name right here is probably one of the most important names in the whole Bible. Notice what it says. Now the Lord said to Abram, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's the name YHWH in Hebrew. It is the personal name of God, and it means the eternal God, and it's his personal name. And so the personal God said to Abram, I want you to go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house to a land which I will what? Show you. I'm going to show you this land. I'm going to make a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'll make your name great. You're going to be a blessing. I'll bless those that bless you. I'll curse those that curse you. And in you, Abram, all the families, the nations of the world will be blessed. That was what we call the Abrahamic covenant. And there he got the land. He's got the offspring. He's got the blessing for the world because the Messiah comes through him. God says, I want you to leave. What does he do? Verse 4. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So he left the Ur of the Chaldees, went up to Haran. His father died when he was in Haran, and that's when they left to go to what we call the promised land. And we'll talk more about that. Now this morning, and if you want to go ahead and turn back to Hebrews 11, and this morning we're looking not at the obedience of faith, but the dwelling by faith. I think the next slide says dwelling by faith. And as we look at this slide, or as we think about this, there are two things that we see that stand out. Let me read verse 9. Look what it says. By faith, he lived, he dwelled as an alien in the land of promise, the promised land. An alien means he's a stranger. An alien means that he's not a citizen. An alien means that this isn't his land. Now, wait a minute. God just gave him the land. But it says, by faith, he lived as a stranger. Now, we'll see it more. And then it says, in the land of promise as in a foreign land. And it says, dwelling in tents. So those two things I want you to see. That he lived as a stranger and he dwelled in tents. Now you may say, so what's the big deal about dwelling in tents? He didn't live in a house. He didn't live in anything that had a foundation. He didn't live in anything permanently. Now I want you to understand, God said, this is your land. He never possessed the land. He lived as a stranger. Let's start, and this is one of the things I think we need to think about. How was Abraham able to do this? Because he wasn't looking to the now. He was looking to the eternal. He was not tied into this world. He was looking for something future. Look what it says. He was living, he's living as an alien. Look what it says in verse 9. By faith, and it's always by faith, every one of these verses that deal with a particular thing starts off by faith. He lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land. It wasn't a foreign land. It was his land. Now, he grew up in the Ur of the Chaldees, and he went to Haran, and then he crossed the Tigris-Euphrates River, and he came into what we call Israel today. He came there, came to a place called Bethany, and he went south, and he went north, and he went to different places. But wherever he lived, we could say, that's your land, Abraham. He'd say, it is my land, but I actually live here as a stranger. I live here, and even though it's my land, I will never possess it, not while I'm alive. It says, by faith he lives as an alien in the land of promise. It's the promised land. It's the promised land. God promised it to Abraham, and then to Isaac, and then to Jacob, and then on to Joseph. And they went to Egypt. And when they came out of Egypt, God parted the Red Sea. Who was leading them coming out of Egypt? Who? What man? Moses. And where were they headed to? The promised land. Do you ever wonder why it's called the promised land? It was the promised to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Judah, to Moses. It's the promised land to the Jewish people. It says he lived as an alien. He lived as a stranger. He went from place to place. You know what people said? People said, hey, you don't live here. Hey, get out of here. Abraham. Okay, and we're moving. They picked up their tent and moved somewhere else. They dug a well. Somebody come up and say, hey, that's our well. Abraham go, oh, okay. And he move on to somewhere else. He never possessed the land. I want to read something to you. You don't have to turn there. This is in Genesis 23. This is in the whole time that Abraham existed in the land that belonged to him. He never possessed any part of it except one place. Listen to this. Genesis 23, verse 1. Now Sarah lived 127 years. And these were the years of Sarah's life, and she died at Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And then Abraham rose before the dead, and he said, oh my goodness, where am I going to bury her? We don't possess any of this what? Land. Who owns the land? Abraham owns the land. God gave it to him, but he never possessed it. So he had to go to a guy and go to a guy's field, and he said, at the end of your field, there's a cave. Would you mind selling me that cave at the end of the field so I can bury my wife? Verse 9 says, he came and they said, would you give me the cave of Machpelah, which he owns, which is at the end of the field, and I'll pay the full price for it. It later goes on and says, Ephron's field, which was in the cave of Machpelah, which is by the field of Mamre, they sold and deeded it over to Abraham for a possession. So Abraham buried Sarah, his wife. The only part of the land he ever owned even though God gave him every bit of it, the only part of the land he owned was a place to bury his family. Did God give the land to Abraham? The answer is yes. Did he ever possess the land while he was alive? No. Will he possess the land one day? Yes. He will live in that land. He will live in that land. Because there's a king coming by the name of Jesus. Came first time to die, he's coming the second time to rule. And when he comes the second time, he's going to set up a kingdom on the earth. It's going to last for 1,000 years. The capital's going to be at Jerusalem. Guess who's going to live in that land? A guy by the name of Abraham, and a guy by the name of Isaac, and a guy by the name of Jacob, and Joseph, and Moses, and David, and Daniel. And see, all of these people, they died never getting the promises. But they will one day. Let's look at the second part. You're still in Hebrews 11. Look what it goes on to say. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land. And then here's the second thing. Dwelling in tents. See, a tent was a temporary dwelling place. You know, if you go to Israel today, if you go to that part of the world today, you can go out into a desert region. You can go in a city, and in the city there's stores. And what's so amazing, you can be in Jerusalem, and there's a store, and it's air-conditioned. It's got glass. It's got everything else. And right beside it is a store that's wide open, animals hanging out and everything else. And it's not air-conditioned. The old city and the new city, it's just the way it is. But you can go outside the city, and you can get out a little bit further out, and you find people not living in houses. They're living in tents. They're called Bedouins. They just travel around. They don't have a permanent place. If we saw Abraham today, we'd say, that guy's a Bedouin. He doesn't have a house. It says he spent his whole life dwelling in tents, and guess what? With Isaac and Jacob as his son and his grandson. Fellow heirs of the same promise. Notice he never had a walled home. He never possessed the land except to bury his family, and even his son and his grandson never possessed the land, but the land was promised to every one of them. J. Vernon McGee, one of my favorite Bible teachers, some of you know who he is, many of you may be too young. J. Vernon McGee went to Dallas Seminary, and then after he came out of Dallas Seminary, he was a pastor in California at the Church of the Open Door in Los Angeles. But he started a radio ministry called Through the Bible Radio. He taught through the entire Bible every 5 years. Great Bible teacher. I loved him. In fact, he got me so excited. He taught Acts 27, the shipwreck, one time. I was listening to it on the radio. I said, the Bible came alive. It should be that way when we teach it. J. Vernon McGee said one time he was in his church, and this guy came to his church and started coming and invited J. Vernon to go to his house. And when he went to his house, it was like a mansion. And he drove up, and when he drove up, servants came out of the door and got J. Vernon to come in, and he walked in the place. It was just unbelievable, a big old staircase and all this stuff. And J. Vernon was walking around, and the guy came up to him and said, how do you like my house? And J. Vernon said, I don't know. If I lived here, I might not want to go to heaven. You know, it's so amazing. And see, when you get tied to the stuff here, you might not want to go. But Abraham never was tied to the stuff here. By the way, what kept him from being tied to this world? You know what it was? It was a city. A city that he's looking forward to. Look at verse 10. For he was looking for the city which has foundations. See, he lived in tents. There's no foundations there. He was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect, designer, and builder is God. He was looking for the city of God. Now, what does a foundation mean? You know, it means something that's solid. It's something you don't move around. You know, the tabernacle, which is where they worshiped God for a long time, and we talked about it in Sunday school, the tabernacle was a tent, and they moved it around until Solomon built the temple, which had a foundation, which they couldn't move around anymore. It got destroyed, but you couldn't move it around. Notice this city. Let me ask you a question. Are you looking for this city? You may say, I didn't even know there was a city. Because most people say, when you die, do you want to go where? To heaven. Well, you know, most of us, if you go to heaven at all, you're going to be in heaven for a short time. Because eternity's not in heaven. Eternity, first of all, is on this earth for 1,000 years. Revelation 20. A 1,000-year kingdom in which we rule in righteousness and justice with Jesus Christ. And then after that, he makes a new heavens and a new earth. And the holy city. Eternity is in the city. We're going to see it in just a second. You remember Jesus talked about this? In John chapter 14, last night, they're having a final meal. He's told them he's going to leave. They're all sad. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many what? Rooms. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and when I get it done, I'll come back and get you. You know what that place is called? The city. The holy city. I want you to see something. Hold your place and turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. Just go to the back of the Bible and come back a little bit if you go too far and get to a concordance or something. Revelation 21. Look what we see. And by the way, when we get a little further in Hebrews 11, maybe in about 3 weeks, we're going to go into a lot more detail on this city because he talks about it later. But look at Revelation 21, verse 1. John is seeing this. This is future. John says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Why? For the first heaven and the first earth passed away. There's no longer any sea. What's the first heaven and earth? That's here right now. That's gone. None of this will be left. None of this will be left one day. I saw a new heaven and a new earth because the first earth and the first heaven had passed away. There's no longer any sea. And I saw what? The holy city. It's called New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride, adorned for a husband. And I heard this voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God, the tabernacle of God is among men. He will dwell among them. They shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. This is what you're looking for. See, I've had people say stuff like, well, this sounds bad, but I don't know if I want to go to heaven. I said, why not? Well, because who wants to sit around with like looking for wings and strumming on something and eating a Mars candy bar or something? I mean, you know, who wants to do that? I said, you've got a misconception of what we're going to be doing. First of all, we'll be on this earth for 1,000 years, and what will you be doing while you're on this earth? You'll be serving Jesus Christ. And then he's going to make a new heavens and a new earth, and this city's going to come down, and you're going to live in this city, and guess what you're going to do for all eternity? You're going to serve Jesus Christ. So you're not looking for heaven, you're looking for the city in which the builder and maker is God. Abraham lived on earth with a temporal view of this earth because he looked for this whole eternal city which God designed to build. Everything on the earth, it was temporal. He said, I'm just passing through. I'm just moving my tent around. This actually is my land, but I'm not getting it right now. And guess what? Isaac's not going to get it either. And Jacob's not going to get it. And even when the nation of Israel was in the land under King David, they didn't get it all. They'll get it all when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes, Jesus Christ. We should think the same way. Let me show you a verse. Just throw this verse up here. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Where's our citizenship? Where's our citizenship? It's in heaven. It's not here. You're citizens of heaven. You're children of God who know Jesus Christ as Savior. Your citizenship is in heaven. You're waiting for Jesus Christ to come get you. 2 Corinthians says we're ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech. We're here representing Jesus Christ. Think about this next slide. It's not our home. This is not our home. In fact, we do not represent ourselves but Jesus. We're just passing through. How could Abraham be promised by God this land, this offspring, this blessing, and he get there and never possess it, or his son, or this grandson? How could he do that? Because he wasn't looking for the now. He was looking for the future. He was looking for a city that had a foundation that God made. Now, let me throw something out. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy. Just flip back in your Bible, wherever you are. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, I want you to see an attitude that we need, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 6, because we live in the richest country in the world. And every one of us in this room are rich compared to the rest of the world. Every one of us, even if you say, well, I'm kind of poor here. Yeah, well, you may be poor here, but you're not poor somewhere else. 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at verse 7. We brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. So if we have food and covering with these, we shall be what? Content. Are we trying to get everything we can get? You look at our culture and our country, it's you know, I got to have this, I got to have the newest of this, I got to have the best of this, I got to have the biggest of this, I got to have this, I got to have this. It doesn't matter how much it costs. It doesn't matter how much debt I go into. It doesn't matter anything. I just want all these things. You'd be like the guy that built the big barns and say, I got to have even bigger stuff, and then you die. And who gets it? Listen to this. Verse 9, 1 Timothy 6. But those who want to get rich fall into a temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires, plunge men into destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. It didn't say money is the root of all sorts of evil. It says the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And some longing for it have wandered from the faith. That means they lost salvation. It means they moved away from the truths of the Bible and they've pierced themselves with many griefs. There are people who are Christians who love Jesus Christ, but they've gotten so entangled in this world that they wander away from the faith, which means the body of truth. What do we do? Look at verse 17. And this applies to every one of us. Instruct those who are rich in this present world. Is that us? Go to another country. Go to another part of the world. Go to Africa. Go to the Middle East. Go to Ethiopia. Go to those places and see how much you make a year compared to what they do. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on what? The uncertainty of riches. But put your hope in God who richly supplies with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Why? Because you're storing up for themselves treasure of a good foundation for the future. He's saying look to the future, not to the present. And whatever you got, use it for God's glory. Use it to touch lives for Jesus Christ. We are the most blessed people in the world. We can't get tied up to this stuff. We're just passing through. Our citizenship's in heaven, and we ought to be content. And the things that we have, the goal is not to get rich. So if God may make you rich, God may let you become wealthy, and what you do with that is, hey, how much can I give away? How can I use this for the glory of God? What are we looking for? Hebrews 11, verse 10, for he was looking for the city which has a foundation whose designer, architect, and builder is God. Are we looking for the things of this world or for the eternal things of God? As those who know Jesus Christ as Savior, as those who want our lives to count for Christ, we cannot be tied to this world. We got to be like Abraham, who dwelled by faith. He was a stranger, living in tents, never possessing all of this, but knowing one day, because of the promises, that he would. Applications. Let's not be tied to this temporal world. Most of the stuff you really get after, it's going to break anyway. Listen, I mean, it does, right? If you fool around with something long enough, it eventually breaks, right? You buy this new thing, And you say, I've just got to have that. I've just got to have that. And we get it. And then after we get it, there's another new one. And we go, I didn't know they made that one. I just got this one. Well, it broke, right? When you tie to things, they break. When you tie to things, they wear out. You get a great sweater. You say, this is the best sweater I've ever had. I'm going to wear this sweater forever. And you go back and there's a big old hole in it. And you go, well, my sweater. Because see, they don't last. Everything in this world's temporal. I mean, but besides God, there's only two things that are eternal. The Word of God and people. That's the only things that's eternal. Everything else will be gone. So let's not be tied to this world because we're citizens of heaven. We're not a part of this fallen world. We live in it, but our citizenship is in heaven. And let's look forward to the eternal city. The eternal city. When we were singing that song, I can only imagine. It's hard for me to think. It's hard for me to say this. But, you know, I haven't seen my daddy since I was 25 because he died. And I hadn't seen my mother in a good while. And I thought about, I can only imagine when I stand before my Savior Jesus Christ that I see my daddy, right? In that eternal city someday. We're going to all be together, aren't we? Aren't we going to be together? And if there's somebody you don't like, you don't even have to see them. right? We're going to be together. We who know Jesus Christ as Savior. Not only are we going to be in His kingdom for 1,000 years, but we're going to be in that city for all eternity serving our Savior. So let's look forward to that city. And so three, let's learn to be content. Remember, contentment is learned. It's not natural. It's natural not to be content. That's why all the commercials say, you want better teeth, you better use our toothpaste. And you go, oh, I got to get that toothpaste. Because we all are not content because it's natural not to be content. We got to learn to be content. And we got to not be tied up to this world, but we got to take what God gives us and share it. Listen, when you can give things away, it doesn't possess you. When you can't give it away, it possesses you.